622. You are listening to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The House Armed Services Committee has released a blueprint of the National Defense Authorization Act. The $601 billion measure hardly resembles the Pentagon's wish list. For one thing, it rejects most of the department's ideas for saving money. Staff writer Martin Matyshak has been following this closely for the Hill newspaper, and he joins us now with the details. Hi, Martin.
Hello, good morning.
So, Martin, first of all, let's just start by telling us the time frame for this. The chairman, Buck McKeon, rolled out or introduced his blueprint yesterday, and then the committee is already going to be considering it today?
They'll be considering it tomorrow. They start proceedings at about 10 a.m., and it promises to go into the wee hours of the morning on Thursday morning.
So we can only assume that lawmakers are going through page by page today. Give us the big picture. What are the major differences between this and what the Pentagon would like to see?
Well, the foundation that McKeon lays forward rejects a number of cost-saving measures that the Pentagon had put forward in terms of military systems or weapons systems. It rejects the idea of retiring the A-10 Warthog. It's a close air support combat plane that troops in the field just love. Rather than retire the entire fleet for savings of a couple billion, McKeon wants it to go into storage. It also rejects the idea of retiring the U-2 spy plane. And rejects the idea of retiring the USS George Washington, an aircraft carrier. Now, that's just weapon systems. In terms of other policies, such as military compensation and bases themselves, the language in the bill explicitly condemns any idea of a new round of base closures, which the Pentagon wanted to shutter old facilities. They wanted that to happen in 2017. The bill just bans that outright. But it also rejects around $2.1 billion in a cost-saving package that the military wants in terms of compensation costs. It rejects a DOD plan that would have seen military families pay more out of pocket for health care, kick in a certain percentage of their housing costs, and cut millions of dollars in commissary subsidies.
So let's take those one by one a little bit more slowly. The last thing you mentioned, the pay and benefits, the bread and butter issues, the committee or the chairman is saying no way to any of that, or at least does he have other alternatives for cutting money?
Well, actually, on that score, in terms of the bread and butter issues that you just mentioned, he does not have any alternatives. It makes up no difference for the shortfall. In fact, the language in the bill recommends that President Obama find in the DOD budget some other way to make up for those costs.
Okay. And just initially, by doing that, and you mentioned already that the A-10 Warthog that troops love, it seems like Congress is listening perhaps to the rank and file, if not to the Pentagon leaders.
A little bit. Though the A-10, the idea of retiring it, putting it in storage so that it can be brought out later is a bit of a compromise on the bit of lawmakers. That's been a real sticking point in terms of the budget negotiations so far, that the A-10 absolutely cannot come out of service. But the idea that it goes into storage rather than being outright retired is a bit of a compromise there.
What motives or what handiwork do you see behind the bill? I mean, who is the committee listening to, or who is the chairman listening to?
It seems to me that the chairman is really listening to the work that was done in his subcommittees last week. There are six subcommittees for the House Armed Services Committee. It seems he took all those pieces together, cobbled them all together in this bill, and addressed some of the issues that were not in the text of those legislation marks. For example, the A-10 was completely unmentioned last week, and this is the first we're seeing in terms of a way forward, at least on the House side, a way forward for that program.
All right. But I guess then my question is, and then in those pre-meetings or in that sort of fact-finding session, whose voice do you think was heard the loudest in the committee?
Certainly doesn't seem to be the Pentagon's, because
no.
They've rejected so many of the Pentagon's cost-saving measures, or at least their proposals, I should say. So it seems that they were just taking their own interests into account as well as those of the military's.
Okay, so we say this is sort of what we always hear. Congress pay attention to constituents. They have a lot of military facilities in their home districts, but also to the veterans groups and the military associations.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Okay, we're speaking with Martin Matyshak. He's a staff writer for the Hill newspaper. What does all this do, though, in big picture, when the Pentagon is warning that it needs to cut costs and sequestration is still the law of the land? Does this tie its hands?
I don't believe it ties its hands because sequestration, the budget caps are definitely there this year, but they get worse in out years. Essentially, what you're looking at is McKeon saying, you want to spend this way, I want you to spend this way. It's a difference of priorities, I guess is the best way to put it.
So where is McKeon saying that they could save money?
Well, as we said, in the military compensation, he offers no alternatives. In fact, he puts it on the president to find the money to pay for these compensation costs.
And that includes commissaries too. That's been a point of debate whether or not that subsidy to commissaries should be shaved or not.
That's correct. And there already has been a bit of a cut on subsidies, commissaries. They wanted to cut $200 million. McKeon's foundational plan here cuts $100 million from that. So it's a bit of a minimum halfway, if you will. In terms of the weapon systems I described, the A-10, the U-2, the aircraft carrier, he proposes cutting over $1.4 billion from other accounts, such as training, repairs, maintenance and operations, et cetera.
Well, isn't that something that the Pentagon would say, wait a second, don't do that, that affects our readiness?
The Pentagon probably could make that argument, but I guess McKeon is saying the cuts have to be made somewhere, and rather than have a new round of base closures and retire these key weapon systems, you're going to have to do more with less in terms of training and readiness.
So we've talked a lot about McKeon's views, but do you know how the other members of the committee are thinking about this?
Well, the ranking Democrat on the committee, Adam Smith of Washington, came out very quickly against the bill, saying that it kind of punted hard decisions on compensation, on base closures down the road. In fact, he's already gone on record as saying that when the bill comes to the House floor, not when they meet tomorrow, but when the bill comes to the House floor, he plans to revive the idea of BRAC or new base round closures.
And without this BRAC, would the Pentagon have any sort of power to shave costs, for example, if they're not using property, if it's vacant or if it's underused, can the Pentagon somehow work around this overall BRAC process that Congress wouldn't let it do?
I mean, it's possible, but the language in the bill is just so explicit. And plus, there seems to be also kind of kicking down the decision in terms of base closure to a commission that's been set up that's going to look at things like modernization, retirement, and compensation. That commission is going to report out in February of 2015. It's possible then that a new round of base closures might come up, but right now it's very hard to see how the Pentagon's going to get around this language.
All right. So Congress is, or McKeon, I should say, is in essence saying let's wait for this whole review first?
Well, in terms of compensation, yes, but in terms of base round and closure, it's possible that then it could sort of be revived or tied back in. But right now, the language is very explicit that there is just to be no changes in terms of base closures.
And one of these other things that seems inefficient from the outside, explain the thinking behind keeping these major weapon systems in storage.
Well, the language in the bill allows the A-10 specifically to come back should the financial outlook improve, brighten in the future years. So it's a modest compromise. A lot of lawmakers, including those in the Senate, such as John McCain and Kelly Ayotte out of New Hampshire, have been vehemently against the idea of retiring the A-10 because they have bases in their states. They also are listening to the rank and file troops who say, we love things like the A-10. It does close air support. It's been great in the fight. So this is kind of a compromise that they're trying to strike. It's like unclear what the Senate will do when they take up their legislation, though.
All right. But it keeps those jobs there, the manufacturing jobs and the maintenance jobs there, at least until they decide what else to do.
Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't say you're semi-retiring it. You know, you're keeping it cool, but you're not putting it on ice.
Yeah, you still need the people who know how to bring it back if that's ever a plan.
Absolutely, yes.
So this is going to go before the committee on Thursday. Then presumably it will be amended and molded, et cetera, go to the House. What's the Senate thinking?
Well, the House Armed Service will actually meet tomorrow, and it will go until Thursday. In fact, a senior Democrat last week said that he expected a full-on amendment fest when it comes to Wednesday. The Senate takes up their bill behind closed doors the week of the 21st, and then will report out whatever their decisions are. And then, you know, you got to start talking about differences between the two bills.
And do you have any idea of what things in here might stand the test of time and last until then, and what are sure to go?
Well, I'll be curious to see what Carl Levin and John McCain, the two ranking members or the two leaders of the SAS committee, think about the A-10 retirement, this middle road that McCain is trying to stick with that. In terms of others, I mean, I can definitely see base closures. I can definitely see the Senate outright rejecting that as well. No one wants to admit that they have to close a base in their state or in their district during an election year.
Martin Matuszak is a staff writer for the Hill newspaper. Martin, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to post this interview later this morning at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.